Hello and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, I've been quite pleased recently with the way the gaming's turning out. I've had lots of really good games, but not been able to get to many conventions or buy any new bits and pieces. So what I've decided to do is I've stashed a load of bits that I've basically either got bored of, no longer feel like playing or collecting or whatever, and I've been slowly selling them off on eBay, and just had an auction end recently where I sold off quite a few bits, so that's going to help the cash flow a bit. But it's also allowed me to actually splurge on a couple of bits I've been wanting to get for, well, almost 12 months and been holding off on. Now, the first thing I got is actually a very old game, and that's Carcassonne, the original version. I got the version with the River expansion, so very pleased with that. And I got it at bargain price. I think officially in the UK it's about £15, but I got it for at least 50% off. I think it was £6-7 or something I bought it for. It was the last copy in the shop, and I don't think they're likely to restock it, so it's no point me telling you where I got my bargain, but basically it was in Wales. There you go, that would give you a clue. Now, that was quite nice, because managed to have a few games with that already. It's definitely different in feel to the Discovery, and I do think it is worth having both the Discovery and the original game. But, you know, if you want to pick one or the other, it's, you know, if you don't want to worry about expansions, go with the Discovery. If you like the idea of expansions or the slightly more take that sort of gameplay, go with the original. Anyway, so that's ticked off my list of things to acquire, so very pleased with that. Now, with some birthdays and presents and stuff like that, I've managed to round out my Protectorate and Troll Bloods for Warmer Hordes. The Troll Bloods are still not complete, so there's a few bits I need for them. But I basically finished painting them, and some of them just need basing, but most of those are pretty much done. So I've either got 25 or even nudging up to 35 points, I can't remember now. The Protectorate of Monarth, I've painted all of the box set and a couple of solos, but I've got a whole load of guys from the choir to paint up, which luckily won't be a problem for my first game, which will be later on this week, because we're just going to do a battle box set game. So very pleased to see that. And then you've got, of course, Wrath out, which has got some interesting bits that I might have a look at. I quite like the idea of the dual sword wielding theme, so Thyra and the Daughters of Flame might be going on my to buy list. All sorts of cool stuff there, but most important of all is the two player starter set, which looks really good. Now, from my point of view, it's both good and bad, because the Protectorate come in that starter set along with Kador, so I have some duplications if I pick that up, but I think I am going to pick it up, because it's going to give me some Cinerators, it's going to give me a Vanquisher, it's going to give me an extra light. I'll probably sell off Krios, and I'll also then have some Kador as well for a little bit of variety. So definitely like the look of that two player set, so good stuff. The video game is also looking a lot better than the early previews. Let's hope it improves even more before it actually gets released, but it's looking quite interesting. Now, talking of computer games, I haven't really been buying any new bits recently. I did download Kill Team, which is pretty good fun, Space Marines running around blowing up stuff. I haven't paid for it yet, so I'm just running on the trial. But yeah, I think it is probably worth picking up, particularly if you're going to go out and buy Space Marine later on in the year, because you'll be able to unlock a power sword for your character if you do that. So definitely one to look at. All sorts of cool stuff going on in the games front, with Halo and Mass Effect and all that sort of stuff. So go check out the E3 coverage. Lots of really cool bits and pieces there. I must admit, when it comes to the computer gaming side, I've not really been doing too much of that recently, apart from having another go on Lord of the Rings Online now that it's free to play. And yeah, it's pretty good. Do I think it's better than Warcraft? Probably, personally, yes, I'd rather do Lord of the Rings Online, but your mileage may vary. It's free, so go check it out. Obviously, the free version does have some limitations, but you can buy a kind of a VIP pass for a 12-month period and have some extra bits and pieces. Luckily for me, I bought it on special offer just before it went free to play, so I did actually have VIP for a short while. I think I'm now no longer a VIP. I'm the kind of the bit in between the free and the VIP. And that doesn't seem to be too bad to me. And for the amount I play it, that's going to be fine. Anyway, moving on from computer games, let's get back to some tabletop figures. Because the other bits and pieces I've picked up is Relics. I've been really keen on this Stitchpunk game for quite a while. I actually downloaded the alpha test, but due to various reasons, I actually never got to play it. In fact, I haven't even printed out the rules yet. It's a really nice set of rules with some nice concepts. The figures are nice. I'm really looking forward to getting them. They're actually in the post, so I'll be drooling over those when they arrive. And some of the new greens they've just released recently on Facebook and so forth are looking really good. So get yourself over to Facebook and like Relics by Tor Gaming. Looking really good, and I can see it going places, actually. I think it's a nice bunch of guys there running the company. I say guys, basically one guy is running the company, but I think there's about 8 or 9 support guys. He did a very good interview on Bell of Lost Souls, so you might want to go check out that as well. Now, the other bit of exciting news on the tabletop front is that C3 sort of lives. Cool Mini or Not recently made an announcement that they were going to be supporting legacy miniatures in relaunching the Confrontation, metal line, for want of a better word. This was very exciting. Unfortunately, as the details started coming out, my enthusiasm started to wane a bit. Part of the problem is it's only going to be available, by the sounds of it, from Cool Mini or Not to start with, which may not be a problem because I've never dealt with the company before, but that was a bit like, that's not so good. Of course, they're American, working dollars, and then you've got the potential problem of shipping to the UK, so that was a little bit worrying. The next worry depends on your view on figures, but they're going to be resin only, which on the big robust pieces won't be a problem. In fact, it probably makes sense because they'll be nice and light and easy to glue and all that stuff. But for the little thin spindly figures that Confrontation sometimes had, I think resin might be a little bit fragile, so not 100% convinced by that from a gaming point of view. There was then also some confusion over whether they were actually launching the figures for painters or for gamers. Now, I think it's a little bit of both. It's like more we're relaunching it for painters and for collectors, with gaming being thought of. Now, the reason why gaming's been thought of, they are actually going to put Confrontation cards in with the figures. Now, it sounds like they're going to be Confrontation 3 cards, so not the latest Age of Ragnarok game, which was the pre-painted plastic, but the original skirmish game, C3. So that's a good move, I think. You know, if enough people buy and the interest gets going again, maybe C3 will get a full-on relaunch. Now, the final problem, from my point of view, is actually the pricing. Now, they didn't release the pricing until very recently, and I actually started to record this show and then realised they'd released the pricing finally, so I've basically scrubbed the original recording and redoing it now. Now, the problem with the relaunch is the figures are actually quite expensive on occasion on eBay. So when they said relaunch, you thought, oh good, we'll be able to get hold of stuff at a fairly good price. Now, I think some of these prices are similar to the original prices from Rackham, but you know, one of the reasons I really didn't get into C3 originally was, at the time, they seemed really expensive. Of course, now with various price increases and stuff, the prices aren't quite so bad. But for example, there's the big Hydra, which is a kind of a titan-y dragon thing. It's not really something you're going to want to play in the original C3 game, because it's such a big dominating thing. But you know, they want about, I think it's $120 for that. They also announced a Golem, which I believe both of these are for the Mid-Nor faction. Now, the Golems are fairly substantial beastie, but they want like $80 for that. Now, unfortunately for me, I think the Hydra is probably worth $80 and the Golem is maybe $40. But, you know, I'm feeling a bit tight and a bit cash flow limited. But even people who are C3 vets, I noticed, are commenting that the pricing is a little bit higher than they would have hoped for. Is it a rip-off? Probably not, but, you know, it is a bit expensive. Now, $80 is, what, £40 to £60 sort of region, and $120, what would that be? That would be 70, maybe £80. Well, you know, that is quite pricey for one figure for a start. To put it into perspective, the Hydra isn't as big, and it's a bit borderline, but you know, the new Forge World Dragon's pretty sexy, and that's £70, but that's 8 inches high. This Hydra thing, I don't think it's that big. It's not small, don't get me wrong, so it's not a total beyond belief price, but yeah, it just seems a little bit higher than I would have hoped for. But who knows, let's see what else they bring out, and they might actually end up going to metal or plastic or resin, whatever. We'll have to see. Now, the final nail in the coffin, of course, is that it's a limited edition run, apparently. Now, whether that's tens, hundreds or thousands, we don't know yet. So, lots of concerns there, but I'm really excited still, and I'm hoping for the best. And I believe I read somewhere on one forum, some guy said, you know, expect the worst, but hope for the best. So, we'll have to see. I've actually ordered myself some C3 books so I can use my pre-painted plastics to learn the rules, and also I might try and pick up the odd reasonably priced sets that are still out there. However, I have noticed there are lots of very expensive auctions on eBay and some very surprisingly cheap ones, which when you actually look into it apparently are recasts. But I'm not going to say any more than that, because obviously that's a bit of internet hearsay, and you don't want to be throwing mud at people on without full justification. So that's all the really cool stuff. Lots of other good stuff, you know, Infinity, Perry, Mantic and all that, all's got really good stuff still going on. But after the break, I'm actually going to be talking about Mantic and Dwarf King's Hold. So see you soon.
Quick, shut that door, man.
As if that's going to stop it.
Look, it's not my fault the Elder Sign didn't work.
That's because it's shaped like a star.
No, it's shaped like a tree.
Star!
Tree!
Star! Well, it's too late now. We're the last ones.
What about Lady Hetherington?
She set on fire, then exploded.
And Father O'Leary?
He plucked out his own eyeballs and ate them.
Damn. I wish I'd visited Yogg-Sothoth.com more often.
Yogg-Sothoth.com?
Yes, you know, that Call of Cthulhu website. Jolly useful. It's got forums, news, even interviews with the great and the undead.
Oh, I do wish you hadn't said that.
Oh, my lord! Stay away from me, you horror! No!
Well, you'll not take me! What? No! Please, no!
Yogg Radio, a Cthulhu podcast from Yogg-Sothoth.com.
Hello and welcome back. Right, well, Mantic, if you've been living under a rock, you won't know who they are, but basically, fairly newish firm exploded onto the scene with a load of very cheap fantasy figures, in particular some elves. They then went on to do undead dwarves and then orcs, and they've got some kind of dark elfy type guys in the works, and along with a couple of other races. So they're really cool, a good bunch of guys, very keen to see them come along. I decided fairly early on I wanted to support them, so I just bought a couple of sample packs. I was pretty impressed, I have to say. The figures went together reasonably well, and they look pretty good painted up. Unfortunately, they didn't at the time have an official game, and the game that they were very compatible with wasn't really to my tastes. So, you know, my enthusiasm was tempered by that. However, they then announced Kings of War, which I got very excited by. Again, my enthusiasm waned a bit when I actually saw the alpha rules. Not my sort of style of game. However, they have proved to be very popular, and I can see them doing quite well if it goes the way Mantic hopes. So, you know, really pleased to see all that going on. It was inevitable that they might start looking at other areas, and sure enough, they've announced a load of sci-fi stuff. And in particular, there was an alpha test of Warpath, which I got involved with. A great little set of rules. Not my taste again. However, I think they're fairly solid. There is some balancing issues and tweaking that still needs to be done, so you might want to get yourself involved in that and sign up to the beta test. Now, unfortunately, with all that, here's this great company I've got a lot of time for, with some great guys working there, some really nice products, but, you know, not really aimed at me. So I was a little bit frustrated, but I was very pleased to see they announced a kind of dungeon crawler, which was provisionally titled Dwarf King's Hold. Well, that finally launched, and I managed to pre-order myself a copy, and I was very pleased to grab hold of Dwarf King's Hold Dead Rising, which was the first game. They have recently just brought out Dwarf King's Hold 2. Now, when I actually started recording the show, it was still in pre-order, but we're now on the Monday when it officially launches, so that pre-order is now over. I haven't been to Mantic's website today, so it's possible if you dash over there you might be able to grab yourself a deal still, I don't know. Now, Dwarf King's Hold 1, Dead Rising, was the dwarves versus the undead. Now, it was a very interesting little setup. You had the dwarves, who were actually the fastest guys on the table. They were pretty tough, they hit pretty hard, but there weren't many of them. And they compensated for this with a shield bash ability. And apart from, you know, finding the figures a little bit irritating to put together, they play really well. The undead guys, they lovely little figures, and they have some slightly interesting rules, one of which is if you bash them, you've got to bash them hard enough to do them damage. If you do them damage, they'll probably crumble to a pile of bones, but if you really hit them hard, they'll actually be destroyed and no longer available to the other player. And that makes for quite a challenging little game, because it's, you know, do I attack and take them out, stop them swarming me? Or do I bash them out the way, or just try and bypass them using my speed? And this makes quite a lot of tension in the game. And with a limited resource pile, the dwarf player has got, you know, not many figures and not many chits, so they need to get the job done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. The undead guy does have similar constraints, but has a lot more relaxing set of rules. But obviously, being slow and also not very tough, you've got to be careful. You can't just go steaming in there. So I really liked the game from that point of view. The quality of the components could have been a little bit better compared to, for example, Claustrophobia. The tiles are quite thin and not quite so awesome. Having said that, you know, the texturing is really nice and the shape choices is great. And I think they made the right decision not to go for interlocking tiles. And if nothing else, you can use them for like D&D games or something similar. So really pleased with that. Before I continue, I should just mention Claustrophobia, really good game, you should go check it out, and it's got an expansion on the way, so if you're into your kind of Helldorado universe, check out Claustrophobia. You can still pick it up, although it's a little bit tricky now, but you know, the expansion, good things. Anyway, let's get back to Mantic and Dwarf King's Hold. Right, as I say, really pleased with the game. So pleased, in fact, that they announced Dwarf King's Hold 2, and I decided I would pre-order it. Now, I left my pre-ordering a little bit late. I actually ordered it last week. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday, and by Thursday I had my box, which pleased me greatly. So I was very excited to open that up and check out all the bits. Now, in the new rule set, it's actually orcs versus elves, so... that was kind of an interesting choice to do that. They had announced basically that's what they were going to do quite a while ago. And looking at the tiles, they're a very similar set of shapes. The texturing is different on quite a few of the tiles, so it's not just, you know, let's just chuck the same tiles in the box. It was good to see. The rules are the good solid rules from Dwarf King's Hold 1. So if you absolutely hated Dwarf King's Hold 1, I'm not sure you're going to be sold on Dwarf King's Hold 2. But yeah. Some differences there. Both the orcs and the elves are different to the other two guys. The orcs are pretty tough, they hit you pretty hard, they're reasonable speed, so you know, they are looking pretty good. One of the great things about them, it doesn't matter how hard you hit them, they don't die. Instead, they get angry. Now, the only problem with them getting angry is once they're angry, if you hit them, they go down so easy that, you know, they're out the game. So with the orcs, it's like, if I hit them, they become quite scary, but then I can get rid of them. If I don't hit them, and then, you know, they're just going to do what they want. So, you know, they're quite an interesting little race. The elves, they kind of prance around. If you hit them and don't do them enough damage, they kind of just go skipping off, and you've got, then got to try and close with them and hit them again. They also have the rather worryingly nasty ability of being able to shoot you from a distance. So, you know, really good to see subtle little tweaks like that to bring some new variety to the game. Now, with regard to the figures, I actually really like the elves. The one thing I don't like is the fact that they've got both a shield and a bow on some of the figures, which is just stupid to me. If they just change the arm options, the elves as they are, to me, are perfect. I quite like that tall, thin, skinny sort of theme they've got going on. So I'm hoping they don't tweak them too much, because I do believe they are looking at remoulding them. They have already launched some new archers due to the criticism over this shield and bow option. But yeah, they went together pretty easily, and yeah, really nice little set of figures. Now the orcs, getting lots of praise, and if you like them, I think you're going to love them. Not so keen on them. I think in ranking order, I'd probably go the undead, then the elves, then the orcs, and then the dwarves, for me personally. Of course, lots of people think the dwarves and the orcs are the best figures they've produced. But yeah, the figures themselves are pretty nice. Now, with all the Mantic stuff, I find the plastic slightly kind of crumbly or flaky. You know, if GW stuff is aero, then Mantic is flake. Not too bad. They come off the sprue pretty easily, and they clean up fairly well. But they're just a certain quality to the plastic. I don't know, maybe it's a slightly harder plastic than the GW stuff. I'm not sure, but I did find it a little bit hard to clean up a few bits and pieces. In particular, it wasn't helped by some of the sprue gate locations being a little bit tricky. I would have preferred them to be in a slightly different place. But, you know, no major worries, and they've all cleaned up all right, and I'm sure once they're painted, they're going to look fabulous. Yeah, I think both the boxes bring something unique, and it's definitely well worth having both. You get all sorts of nice little cool tiles and lots of nice figures. The scenarios obviously are an ongoing thing. I believe there are some freebies in the works. In particular, there's already a freebie PDF you can download for zombies. So if you want to use zombie figures from Mantic, or in theory any game company, I suppose, in your game of Dorking's Holes, you can now do so. Now, I really like the game. I think it's a simple set of rules that give you some really tough choices. Do you shield bash if you can? Do you shoot from long range? Do you close for melee? Do you position your guys to slow them down? In particular, both scenario ones for the two games basically take you and say you've got to get from here to here, and you've got a time limit and lots of constraints. So you've got to decide the best way to achieve that goal. And I think objective-based games are always much better than just set up and kill each other. So what I like about Dorking's Hold is that you're given constraints and then objectives that challenge that constraint. So, for example, in Scenario 1 for the dwarves, they've got to get from a chamber to kind of a tomb to recover an ancient heirloom. And there's a load of skeletons in the way. And if you just try and stand and fight toe-to-toe with the skeletons, you're not going to do it. Now, if you want to see an example of how not to play, I'm sorry, Andy, you need to go to Beasts of War, and you'll see Andy rolling terrible dice, which really didn't help, but also forgetting to use Shield Bash, and he doesn't really get very far. When I played with some friends, I basically told them how to play and said, look, you know, you need to get from here to here, and if you're a dwarf, you've got to Shield Bash the guys out of the way, because otherwise you're not going to make it. And unfortunately for the undead guy, the dwarf guy really took that lesson to heart, and he just basically sprinted as fast as he could to the other chamber and actually won the game. In fact, the dwarves have never lost Scenario 1 in the few games I've had. Now, with Dorking's Hold 2, sorry Andy, you can go to Beast of War and see the Dice Gods hating on him again, and also him forgetting to shield bash. And in fact, when he's playing, he is reminded that he can shield bash, which he chooses to ignore to his peril. So it's a really good way of seeing how the game works, but not necessarily how the game should be played. So hopefully for Dorking's Hold 3, Andy's going to have a little bit more luck with his dice, and also remembering all of the special rules his figures has. Now, as I say, it's a great little game, lots of little complexities there, and definitely worth checking out. So, you know, go have a look. And of course, with the issue of Dorking's Hold 2, thankfully Dorking's Hold 1 has been reissued, because apparently it's sold out. So if you didn't get it the first time round, try and pick it up now before it goes out of print again. Anyway, I think I've waffled enough. I think I've pretty much covered everything that I feel I do. I'm sure as soon as I upload this, I'll think of all sorts of other things I said either in my earlier recordings or stuff I should have announced this time round. The big event coming up is actually not based in the UK. It's Gen Con. So definitely looking forward to seeing what comes out of Gen Con. And then I guess the next big thing is going to probably be Essen with all the board game stuff. Now, I do know there is a load of role-playing stuff that I haven't covered. Maybe I'll get back around to that once I've had a few sessions, because obviously I've got this original D&D campaign to kick back off, and also Polaris, which I totally forgot about. I finally managed to snag myself a copy of the Polaris Tragedy in the Utmost North RPG, and I'm hoping to do some coverage of that at some stage in the future. Anyway, enough waffling. I'll catch you another time. So, till next time, happy gaming.